In those early days, Dave, you came and worked in London, but you did anything that needed to be doing. Anything. You just wanted to serve and you just wanted to learn. And you sorted out a whole library of books. You did stacks of photocopying and you did stacks of laminating. And basically, I think at that moment, there was clear that there was a guy of extraordinary potential in Dave. And I think what's happened is that you have lived, Dave, in such a way that the potential and promise of your 20s has become the anointing of your 30s. That's the truth. And I think what you have cultivated in your heart has become your reality. I think you chose what to go after, and that became your reality. And I think actually there's the lesson for us all is to think, okay, what is it that God has for us? And that is what we cultivate in our lives. And that is the truth of the people that we want to become. That is what we cultivate, and that ultimately is what we want to become. And I know that Dave and I would both say that we never want people to say of us, oh, we are people of great promise and potential. I don't want to die being a man of potential. That is a sick thing, I think, to have extraordinary capacity but not actually to fulfill it and not to see it through. But actually, what Dave, you have done is that you have chosen to live in such a way. And Kaz, you've chosen to live in such a way that their potential has become their reality. And we're going to, in a moment, we're just going to lay hands on them and we're going to commission. But firstly, I just want to look for a moment. Sorry, John. My Bible. It's helpful to have your Bible, isn't it? Moments like this. If you can, if you've got your Bible with you, can you just turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4? Paul and Timothy had this long history of working together in this fruitful, loving collaboration. And Paul describes Timothy in various ways. He describes him as his fellow worker, as his co-laborer, and at times he also says he was his son. But there came a moment when Paul said to Timothy, actually, it's not good for us to be working together anymore. It's going to be better and more fruitful for the gospel if you lead here and I lead there. And what happened was that they then started leading separately, but you read in the letters that were written this extraordinary sense of affection and ongoing partnership. And I think it is exactly the same in this setting here, that there comes a moment when Dave has grown in his leadership capacity so much, actually Dave needs to go and lead something. And actually, are we going to continue to work together? Yes. Is this the last time that you'll see Dave and Kaz in this church? No. No. They will be back because we're going to continue to work in extraordinary partnership together. Let us read from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to put from verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, but rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially those who believe. Just very quickly, at that moment there, Paul is not preaching universal salvation for everybody. He's not saying anybody, no matter what. That goes against the whole tenor of Scripture. But when he says that he was the Saviour of all people, especially those who believe, you go back earlier in Timothy and it says, no, believe and you will be saved. But what Paul is saying is that salvation is open to all people. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Do not let anybody despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. We're going to go back to verse 12, but I think there is this sense of Dave and Kaz, you have not neglected the gift that you received from God. You haven't done that. But they've immersed themselves in it. And I want to be somebody who knows what my gifts are, and I want to immerse myself in them. I don't want to sort of like just go after them a little bit half-heartedly. I want to immerse myself in all that God has for me. And then it says here, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in doing this, for by doing so you will save both yourselves and your hearers. He says there, let no one despise you because of your youth. And Timothy, I suspect, most commentators would say was the same age as Dave and Kaz. They reckon he was like late 20s, early 30s. And Paul recognised that actually there was quite a difficulty in leading people who are older than you. It has its unique challenges. And what I want to say is I just want to look at verse 12 very, very briefly so that we might know how to lead people that are either older than us or over us, or how you can lead your boss, how you can lead your parents, how you can lead those people who are in authority over you. Because actually that is what we want to do. And that will be a unique challenge for Dave and Kaz as they go to this church. How do they lead people that are much, much older than them? And the answer is, it says here, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. And it just says there are a couple of areas to set an example in your life. That is how to lead your boss at work. If you want to lead your boss into greater godliness, set an example in these few ways. And the first thing it says, set an example in how you speak. And it's not just the words that you know, or you're not allowed to swear and all of those. No, I think what it's really saying is set an example in the way that you speak over other people. Just speak words of encouragement into other people. And I know there are a couple of people here who are just fantastic at speaking words of encouragement into people's lives. We had dinner with somebody last night who knows Christina and Jonathan well. And they said, Christina constantly speaks words of encouragement into other people's lives. And I know there are countless people in here that constantly speak words of encouragement into our lives. Caroline Gertler, you constantly speak words of encouragement. I just want to tell you that. Sometimes people sidle up to you, and when you're leading a church, you worry. You worry. And they say, can I just say something to you? And you think, well, I wonder what they're going to say. But Carolyn, you've always said stuff that has been so encouraging. And I think when it says set an example, Jerry is probably the master of speaking encouragement into people's lives. Jules, when I look around, I just see people, we have to learn, set an example of speaking encouragement into people's lives. Tell them what they are so good at. Tell them what you value in them. And the other way that you can set an example in speech is this, what you speak over your own life. What do you speak over your own life? Do you agree with lies that the devil would want to speak over your own life? Or do you actually agree with what God has spoken into your own life? And if you want to lead the people who are over you, and you want to lead the people who are above you, and you want to lead your boss, or you want to lead other people, no, learn to be true to what you speak over your own life. I don't want to amplify my fears and doubts that Satan puts in my lives. I don't want to do that. I want to speak what God speaks in my life. Set an example in what you speak. Second thing is set an example in your conduct. One of the biggest themes in the whole book of Timothy, when you read through Timothy, is this, that the gospel changes lives. That the gospel makes us live in a holy way. Did you know there should never be any separation at all between what you believe and you behave, how you behave? It shouldn't do that. And if we're really pressing into God, you should just find that the way you behave becomes different. And that what you do and what you want to do and how you're motivated, it's just different. Because actually the Holy Spirit is working in us and changing us. Colossians 1 verse 10 says this, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. We just have to let our lives shine. What you do and how you lead in your church, you just need to watch your conduct, to look what you do, to set an example in how you live your life in the most outstanding, exemplary way. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love. I just had to read this verse from 1 Corinthians verse 13. Because, Dave, in particular, you have a really strong prophetic gift. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And I just need to know that I think many of us will see the way that Dave and Kaz have loved. And it's commendable. And I want to learn from that. I want to be somebody that learns how to love people. And some of the stories that we heard earlier about just the way that we love. And we want to be a church. The early church was always marked out by this thing. Oh, how they loved one another. How they cared for one another. How they ate in each other's homes. I've seen moments when Dave has seen somebody on the street and bought them cigarettes. And you think, well, that's not a very loving thing to do. Well, actually, it is, really. If that is just the thing that demonstrates love more than anything, well, that's what you need to do. Set an example in faith. Kaz, you have the gift of wisdom, don't you? Yeah. I really wanted to hear you say yes. You do have the gift of wisdom, and you speak things that, in fact, you've spoken things into my life because you've spoken them into Dave, who speaks them into me. I've benefited from wisdom. I've benefited from that wisdom. Dave, you have the gift of being a prophet and leadership, and you need to fly into that gift. I have some idea of my gifts, and I suspect you have some idea of the gifts that you have in your life. But do you know, sometimes there's a danger that our strength and our gifts overtake our faith. And you have the gift of wisdom, and you have the gift of a prophet and leadership, but it's rooted in faith, isn't it? And do you know, the dangerous thing is you think you can go on your own strength. And we think we can lead in our own strength. And we think we can lead our boss in our own strength. And we think we can change cultures. And we think we can go into a marketplace and make a real difference in our own strength because of who we are. And you think, no, set an example for all the believers in faith. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus that he is going ahead of you. You're going to plant some extraordinary into Thames Valley. We're calling it Thames Valley. But it can't be in your own strength. We need to do something here in Barnet. Are we going to do it in our own strength? No. Are we going to have incredibly gifted people? Yeah. We're going to have more and more gifted, incredible people coming in and joining something that we're doing here. Are we going to do it in our own strength? No, we're not. We're going to set an example. In particular, I think sometimes we've heard a little bit about mums. Sometimes you feel you have to be a mum in your own strength. Just by force of will, you're going to do this. No, you don't. It's an issue of faith. You're going to trust Jesus with your kids. You're going to trust Jesus, that he will go ahead of them. And lastly is this, set an example in purity. If God has promised that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us, why do we need to bother about purity? Because God has determined that he will always forgive your sin if you confess your sin. But God has determined that the level of power and authority and anointing on your life is inextricably linked with the purity of the way that you live. It's true. If you sin and you fall, is God's grace in your life? Yeah, absolutely. Are you ever going to come up face to face with Jesus and say, get away from me? No, if you confess your sin. But I tell you this, it will make a massive difference in how you operate and how you live. And if you long to grow in sort of like in the power of the Holy Spirit and you long to see God move in your life, well, we have to learn to live pure lives. Clean, clean vessels. I just want, before we get Dave and Kaz up, Kaz, last week you spoke and I thought you brought some freedom to women about, because of the whole thing of pursuing perfection. And I felt you brought something of great liberty. And I think you released women from a drive towards perfection. And I feel God is going to give you a national platform, actually, to speak freedom for women from the drive towards perfection. And I think there are many women that feel they have to hold it all together and strive for perfection. And God's got real grace on you just to bring complete liberty from that, that you won't have to do that. And I think the key is going to be for you is to remind them that there is only one perfect person in this world, and it's not them. It's not them, and it's not you, but it was Jesus. And Jesus' perfection is all that's needed. And because of Jesus' perfection, he welcomes women into a place of grace and acceptance. And I also felt that really clearly that every small battle that you win in defeating acceptance by perfection is going to be multiplied 100-fold in other women that you speak to. So every time there's that one moment, then you win the battle yourself for you personally, and it just roots deeply down. It's just going to be multiplied in extraordinary extent when you stand up and you speak to people. And Dave, I think I know you more than many other people, having shared an office, and we were in Munich together for 2 days last week, and we just had a hilarious time with a church plant there. And there are lots of things. I know you well, but I think your Heavenly Father knows you far better. And he knows the decisions that you've made in your life, and he knows the decisions that you have made. He has searched your heart, and he's searched your mind, and he knows you, and yet he's still saying, I want to bless you, and I want to anoint you. And what you have cultivated in your heart has and is becoming your reality. What I wanted to do is, that verse from Timothy is about praying for these guys, but actually it's for all of us. We want to lead wherever we are. Wherever God has placed us, we want to set an example for all the believers. Dave and Kat, can I just invite you to come up, and we're going to pray for you. Fantastic. So we've asked a few people. So Pete, you're going to come up, aren't you? Linda, are you going to come up? Yeah? Okay. And Chris? Look, there's a bag of things. Be very, very aware of this. Okay. Yeah, you can come up now, yeah. Okay, there's all sorts of things going on. We're not really sure what's going on here. Okay. Chris, do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah. Dave and Kaz, we've been praying for you. The prophetic community have been praying for you. That's why your name will be removed. you'll be put back. We all came along the same thread. And all along I told you that you have a Joseph calling, and you have a lifter platform, and you've seen your platform being lifted. But you have, you like what Duncan has said about Kaz, you both would have a national platform, and you are the royal prince and princesses in the family. And I just feel I'm going to get really emotional because and just say that you have blessed me so much, and I just felt God wants to let you know that your Joseph calling, and that the calling that you have is the coat that he put over you, and that coat is knitted so carefully, and that you were interwoven every single different churches of different denominations coming together, create a revolution of a church movement that people have never seen before. And I've written that all down, and I'll email it to you. And Cass, you know, you are not a shadow of Dave. You are Cass Price. And you are going to speak not just for women, but for many, many people.
Yeah.
And that whatever you say holds a lot of authority. You are not just a mom to Arella. You are not just a mom to Dave,
Dave.
Phil, to Phil and Sailor. And you're not just a wife. Both of you got skills that complement each other. You're like Julian Adams and his wife. And you're going. Your platform is not only nationally, you would go international as well. And I'm just so excited. Mm. And because of that, this is a prophetic action.
Does he have to wear this?
Yes, of
the
course.
Hat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Dave, you have spiritual authority, and you are going to be a father for many, many people. And I just feel that as a prophetic action, your spiritual father here, Duncan, will commission you.
Okay, Dave, was your hair going to cope with this?
Yeah, it's fine.
I woke up one morning with this kind of word from God, which said that, let me find the beginning of it. God says to clear out your clothing, because the clothes that you're wearing at the moment are not the clothes you need as you go forward. I think that God is speaking spiritually and saying that he has a new wardrobe for you, which is going to be different, just the sense of God saying, don't rely on the stuff that you've known before. It's a bit like you've outgrown some of these things, and they're not going to be appropriate as you move on, but God says, you're going to have to press into him so that he can reclothe you. Not to stress that you don't seem to have the right wardrobe yet, but maybe you do, to fit the new challenges that he's putting in front of you. Because God is the one who will reclothe you and give you what you need. He has promised us robes of righteousness. And as you press into him, he's going to give you everything that you need for the job he has for you to do.
So and then for Kaz, we're going to give you this, we call it the scepter, that you have this royal authority, and that whatever you... Look, Moses used it to part the Red Sea, and you're going to use it to bring a lot of victories and breakthroughs in people's lives and in where the church that you're leading.
That's so special!
This is what happens. This is what happens when you lead a prophetic community.
Yeah, it's your fault. Jerry.
Okay, so this is a big day, isn't it, in the life of the church. Not many churches get the opportunity to kind of commission such an amazing couple as Dave and Cass. I kind of just want to say a few things. First of all, there's some really wise and godly people that have chosen you to go to where you're going, and you've been through quite an extensive process, and you've got quite a lot of wise and godly people here that are sending you. So be confident, okay? I know we've heard a lot about the covering that Jill and Duncan have had over you at Trinity, but you're going to become the Jill and Duncan of your new church.
Come on.
Okay?
Come on. All
right.
Hopefully a lot better.
So whenever I pray for Kaz, and I've prayed for you many times on and off, I always get the same picture, and it's a picture of a diamond. And it's an amazingly beautiful diamond, which is pretty obvious. I'm sure you can kind of get that picture with Kaz. But I think over the last 10 years, Kaz, that diamond has been just honed and lots of more facets have been put on that diamond. I think you've spoken that today anyway. You've looked back over the last 10 years and you've seen this journey. So be confident. You are now an amazing diamond that pretty much is honed for beauty now, okay? And I know I think you heard this word that I had for you a couple of weeks ago. But again, we've heard this morning. Kaz's beauty has been seen all around this church, but it's not often been kind of brought to the front. It has occasionally, and I remember times at St. James's where Dave was preaching, and he brought you up, and you spoke for about 10 minutes, quarter of an hour in his preach. And when we met as elders on the Tuesday, we said to Dave, look, forget preaching, just get Kaz up. She was amazing. And even like last week, you haven't, I don't think, brought a public word in our church for a while, probably because you've just been had your mind on other things and busy with other things and beavering away in, you know, kind of in the shadows really, and blessing people just without us ever knowing. But it was powerful. That was a powerful word that is being built upon now and is going to be taken, you know, people are saying internationally. Okay, so what my word to you is, it's now time to come out of the shadows, okay? You've been blessing people in the shadows, and God's been amazing, but it's now time to come out of the shadows, Kaz. Mm. And, I really want to bless you in that. Mm. And, I kind of, in my head, I want to give you practical advice. I don't want a Sunday to go by at your new place where you don't speak wisdom. Give a word, give a picture, pray for people publicly. Mm. because I think people have got a lot to learn from you. And again, just personally for me, you came and worked at Free and Barnet School. You were a diamond in that place, okay? And when Kaz, I think you had your first baby, Ariella, she asked to go part-time. That's a bit inconvenient as a head teacher, but all her team came up to me and said, whatever you do, let Kaz go part-time. We want Kaz for half a day a week just because she's so amazing. And that, again, just speaks volumes of Kaz. And Dave, what can I say? You've been fantastic. It's been such a privilege to work alongside you. You've been brilliant for this church. You've been brilliant for Duncan, brilliant for me, brilliant for lots of different people in this church. I don't think there's a single thing in this church that Dave and Kaz haven't done, literally from putting chairs out and sorting out bookcases to, you know, healing people miraculously on the streets and goodness knows what else. You've done absolutely everything. And those 10 things up there, that's for you, okay? And, you know, you're going to go and be an amazing leader. And in all the tears, don't forget, Woburn Green's not that far away, and we're going to see lots of you. But it's a defining moment today. Mm. Again, another thing I thought is Dave and Kaz. Yeah, and I think this comes from, let's have a little think about this. Yeah, there's a real servant heart with both of you and a real humility, and that's probably why you don't feel that confident to go, but just be confident, because in humility, God comes and pours out his power. So humility is good because God just becomes so powerful in that. And the other thing, when you combine humility with passion for Jesus, I don't think there's people in our church who are more passionate about Jesus. So when I first came to Northwest Church, we weren't even coming to the church, Duncan, but we came. You know, you could just see God's worshiping heart upon you, Kaz. You stood out head and shoulders about everybody else in that church. You have a passionate heart for Jesus. And Dave, in everything you've done, you've provoked us, you've told us off, you've corrected us, you've been passionate, you've been prophetic, you've dressed up in silly clothes, you know. Nobody can ever fault your heart. Your heart is set after Jesus. Whatever happens, even if you upset people a little bit or whatever, you know, nobody can ever, ever fault your heart. Your heart is set after Jesus. And I think when you've got those hearts set after Jesus and you've got that, you know, that humility, this is a powerful mix. You know, Thames Valley, Woburn Green, nationally, internationally, people are going to be blessed through you. God bless you.
I just ask you to stand. I just need to say that if you are new to the church, if you haven't been coming for very long, or if you're visiting this morning, I hope one thing that you would take from here is that we honour people. We love people and we honour people. And we want people to be part of this church that learn what it is to love and to honour people. And so, Dave and Kaz, we want to commission you and pray for you. And what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to pray for them. I wonder, is Zoe here? Could the band come back? Because it'd be good to sing something then. I'm going to pray for these guys. And when I've said I'm amen, that is the moment I want us to give these guys the biggest round of applause that you can think. They will be back. You can do it again at some point. But I want it to be a symbolic act of gratitude and sending. And then afterwards, just to let you know, we're going to have we're going to do lunch afterwards, but we also have a balloon release. No, nobody knows that. That room through there is packed full of balloons, okay? And we're going to go outside and we're going to release these balloons. Why? Because by sending these guys out, the gospel is going to go everywhere. We don't even know where it's going to go, but the gospel is going to go, okay? So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to get all the kids involved. Don't give the kids too many balloons. Keep them feet on the ground, okay? But we're going to get the kids to release the balloons as a prophetic act that the gospel is going to go to the four corners of the world. So Dave and Kaz, as it says in Acts chapter 13, it says, Paul and Barnabas got together and then the disciples prayed and fasted and they agreed that it would be a good idea to be sent out. And we now send you out from this place with love and tenderness and extraordinary joy, knowing that you have joined our hearts together in an apostolic movement. And comfort is not the primary goal in our lives, but the kingdom of God is. And to see churches established and growing and full of vibrant faith. And so we send you now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go and lead with full authority. Go and see people healed. Go and spend hours on the street. Go and knock on doors. But God will see his kingdom grow and advance because you have taken a step of extraordinary, bold, adventurous faith. Go in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.